I love this church. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where you can take an account of all that God has done for us over the years at Union Road and find reasons to be thankful and reasons to rejoice. And so tonight, pastors asked for me to present my burden along the lines of our theme. And I am appreciative of our theme for this year, pursuing His presence. And I want more of Him than I have right now. I find myself lacking in so many areas that I must have Him to make up for that lack. And He satisfies. You know what I mean? He satisfies in those places in our lives where we just don't measure up and never will. And yet He comes by, Brother Carr, and He sanctifies us and He cleanses us and He makes us new and He helps us along this journey. I'm thankful. I told Pastor this the other day and my heart is filled with joy. We've had a revival on the front row of our children. When we were growing up, I remember sitting there myself and I love looking at our young people here and our young people here who were not so long ago here. And as Sister Ruth was testifying and giving us her burden and vision for her trip, began to think about all the ways that God, by His providence, keeps us so that we can do His will. I asked her when she got saved and called to the ministry. She said 8 years old for both of those, but began to see that fulfillment in a fuller way at the age of 17. And I'm looking at this group of young people and at this group of young people, we are literally at an age right now, you hear me, where God is wanting to speak to your life. And there's so many other things in this world that are going to pull for your attention. And they're going to pull for your life. Because the enemy knows if he can get his hooks into your life and into your mindset and into your dreams and into your goals and into your vision right now, he's going to take and waste so much of God's time that he would use you in. God is not waiting for you to turn 31 so that you can start a ministry then. God is wanting to speak to your life now. And you know, it's since that calling has happened, I guarantee you there have been opportunities for Sister Ruth to chart another course. And any one of us that are in this house tonight understands that you make daily decisions that God leads you down a path to the place where we are today. At right now, at this church, to do something for the kingdom of God today. I've heard a lot of people say, I was born in the wrong generation. I should have been born, you know, back in the 1800s or early 1900s or whenever in a specific time period that they just feel that connection to. But God does not make accidents. And you were born for such a time as this. And our church is here and now for such a time as this. And all of the things around us that are daunting and negative and ugly and sinful and discouraging are all just a part of the season that God has placed us in so that we can bring the light of the gospel to those around us. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here for a purpose. We're here for right now because God has us here. Amen. I want to do something with the time that we've been given. Amen? I mean, I don't want to limp into heaven. I just don't want to crawl. Brother Kroger, I feel like we ought to be running into the gates and taking as many people with us as we can. Glory to God. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight. Book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Our pastor quoted my text this morning. I looked at Sister Juliet, and I appreciate confirmation, by the way. I don't get discouraged on that, start flipping for other notes. I appreciate confirmation from the Lord, but I looked at her and said, well, Pastor just preached my sermon for tonight, so this might be short, or it might, you know it's not going to be. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking for the Lord. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart. Let's read that again. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. I want to preach tonight on we'll find him when. We will find him when. You know, you can be seated tonight. I thank you for standing in honor of the word. My kids are old enough now to appreciate the great game hide and seek. And it was one of my favorites growing up when lived out on the farm and had a lot of trees and fields and all sorts of places to hide. And anybody and ever play that out there at the McKelvey house? Anybody play hide and seek? I think we got hands all over the place. I loved it. And now Emma and Preston like to play a lot, and they're perfect size to hide just about anywhere. And I'm of a size where it takes a small miracle to get me in a place that's hidden. I didn't have you come to the Amen Corner, Brother Cruz. Amen. So the other night we're playing hide and seek, and I've used all of my favorite two hiding spots, and we have a sectional at our house, and I realized we had pulled it out a little bit away because where the heaters are and the baseboard heater, and so I jumped in behind, well, it was kind of a fall in behind that sectional. I'm in the corner, and Sister Rhonda, my arm's here, and it's horrible. It's horrible. It's easy getting in, but now I'm thinking, how am I getting out? I'm starting to panic. And so the kids, they can't find me anywhere. They're looking for me, and it's been a few minutes, and I'm losing feeling and, you know, parts of my body, and I can't feel my hands and toes, and my blood's rushing to my head. It's horrible. And finally, I started moving, trying to, you know, make noise so they'd find me. And Emma poked her head, finally, over the top. Thank you, Lord. You know, she found me. And I can't believe you fit back there, Dad. I said, I can't either, babe. You know? Hide and seek is a great game, right? But it has limitations. And so often in our lives, I really believe we think we are playing hide and seek with God. And it's not meant to be that way. Right? We make statements like, you know, I don't even know if God hears my prayers anymore. He's so far away. And it feels like that sometimes. And there's moments where we wonder, God, do you even know where I'm at? Or I can't find you anywhere. You know, where are you right here when I need you? It just seems like sometimes God is hiding from us. And yet his word tells us otherwise. If you'll seek for me, you'll find me. But only if you're searching for me with all of your heart. You're never going to find me if even the slightest part of you is looking for something else to satisfy the reason why you're searching for the Lord in the first place. And if we were honest tonight, we would admit we need to find him. I need to know where he's at. I do have reasons why my heart is searching for him. I am longing to be in his presence. My heart is thirsty for fellowship with him. I need to find him. But if I'm looking half-heartedly, it'll never work. It'll never work. And Jesus, he wants to be in fellowship with us. Isn't that amazing? Notice here, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or in reality to give you a hope, a destiny. I know what I'm thinking towards you. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what our emotions tell us. It does not matter what the enemy says. The Lord tells us, I know what I'm thinking about you. I know what I'm thinking about your church. I know what I'm thinking about your family. I know what I'm thinking about your home. I know what I'm thinking about your children. I know God's reminding us He has a plan. I know what I'm thinking about you, and it is not evil. God is wanting us to know that He desires interaction. He wants us to worship Him. He wants to move amongst us. He desires to see people saved. He wants to do the miraculous. He wants more testimonies, Brother Vint, of the way He's moved. Amen. My heart has been stirred of the testimonies we've heard lately, how God is moving. He wants to do it. He knows the thoughts that He's thinking. Plans of peace, not evil. He wants to work in your life. You know, revival is not something we do out of a routine, and it's just something to take up a few days. No, it's a way for God to help us set aside some time so that He can remind us of all the desires that He has for us. And aren't you glad He wants to move in our lives? I'm thankful that when we get saved, He doesn't just stop right there and say, good job, now good luck, and see you maybe. No, it's a journey. That path that we're walking with Him. You shall call upon Me, and you shall go and pray unto Me, and I'll do what? I will hearken unto you. I'm going to respond, the Lord's saying. Yeah, but Brother Brian, you don't know my situation. You don't know where I'm at in life. You don't know what I'm facing. No, but God does. God knows. And here's the reality that we must accept. You are going to face hard times in your life, whether you are a believer or whether you are a Christian. I would just rather face those hard times in my life walking with my Savior. Amen. Because the reality is I need Him every hour. Amen. Call upon Me. Go and pray unto Me. Stop right there. I appreciated what Brother Philip, Sister Rebecca is saying. If we are going to find the Lord, it will be at the altar. How many of you remember when you got saved and those burdens rolled away? Is that the last time you were there at the altar? I hope not. I've had to go a lot back to that place and say, Lord, here I am again. Old Brian has reared his ugly head. I need to lay some more down at the altar. I need help. I need joy. I need peace. I need comfort. I need whatever. I've had to go back to the altar again and again and again and find that He is still there, still moving, still answering. Amen. I'm thankful that we have been given opportunity to come to Him. Pursuing His presence, though, is an action. It is not stationary. It is not settled. It is a continual movement of following after Him, of desiring Him. You'll find Me when? When we what? When we pray. When we stop what we're doing long enough to say, Lord, I want to have time with You. God has a plan for you and I. How are we going to find Him? You know, I mean, it's not like He's running from us. He's here. How do we find Him? Well, I think the Lord tells us we'll find Him when we call unto Him, when we go. We can't stay where we're at, in the same place, in that same rut, in that same dry routine, and that same Netflix binge every night, and that same mind-numbing YouTube every day, and that same video game checkout moment, and that same time where we just are doing and doing and not going to Him. Isn't it amazing that the reality of life is this? We will fill our time with something. Everybody's got 24 hours. Everybody. We're filling it with something. That go is a direction. You know, I told the young people this. It's one thing to fast. That's not just not eating or just not getting on the computer or not. You have to substitute the spiritual for the replacement of carnal. That's the go. How do we find Him? We turn our lives towards Him. It's directional. It's admitting that we need more of Him. The Bible says that the psalmist told us, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Do you want more of Him? Then we've got to go to where He's at. Amen. We've got to pursue Him. Pursuing is indicative of our desires and our will, our ambitions and our longing. Pursuit, effort, doing something differently than the way we've done it previously. You know, in revival, it takes effort. I asked the young people, "What are you going to do to prepare?" We were in the prayer room. "What are you going to do to prepare?" And some said, "Well, we're going to pray more." And I forget what. And then one of our boys said, I'm going to rest more. I'm going to sleep." Because, you know, revival takes effort. There's times you are long here in service. And you know, but the reality is it's a purposeful direction. And, you know, we're looking for revival. And as I thought about revivals that we've experienced here before, what we were seeing as an emotional response or as an experience was not the revival. That was the experience that was because of the walk with God before we got to the house of God. And the expression of worship is not the end of revival. It is the declaration that revival is in your heart because you've been with God outside of the house of God. And so when we get in here, we've been walking with Him, and it might have been a stressful day, and it's Thursday or Wednesday, and already you have been at revival services, but you say, "I'm going to keep coming," and your day might have been rough, and somebody might have looked at you wrong and smarted off or whatever, and you say, "Man, it's just not been a great day, but I've still felt the Lord with me all day," and you come in and you're still ready to worship. That is revival. It's knowing that you've been with God in the private times, not just the public expression. Amen. We'll find God when we search for Him with all of our hearts. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing. Amen. Do you need more of Him tonight? And what happens when we find Him? You know, my mind has went back this week a lot. And Pastor can attest to this. When I was 17, we had one of the greatest moves, and this is Christian jargon, and you understand what I'm saying, but one of the greatest moves of God I've ever been in was at Southern Ohio when I was 17 years old on a Thursday night. And, you know, I've heard others talk about when there's services of wave after wave, and it's hard to describe. It was just incredible. And Pastor, if I can relay how the Lord began to deal with you, said, even this, there's people here that are taking this as an accommodation of sin, a condoning of sin in their life, and not as the Lord being gracious, calling them out to a deeper walk. You know, God's moving on them, and God's speaking, and they're feeling that liberty of worship and the joy of worship. But and literally, there are folks there that within a few months of them responding in a greater way than they ever had, were already not serving the Lord. Already out in sin. How can that be? Because it was not an experience of walking with Him. It was an expression of those that did walk with Him, ministering to other people around them. We don't need to have just an expression of worship. We've got to have the experience of walking with Him, finding Him with all of our heart. And when we do have that, we will have a real expression of worship. When we do walk with Him on a daily basis, men, not just letting our ladies lead in worship, but our men finding a place alone in prayer in the morning, coming ready to worship at night, leading our families in the house of God in worship, in prayer, amen, in Bible study. When we are ready, they will see the expression and the experience of worship because we've been walking with Him. We'll find Him when we search for Him with all of our hearts. You know, the Lord knows that there are other things They're going to try to get your heart in a different direction. Do you know that? And the enemy knows what your heart is tempted by. And I'm so thankful that the Lord gives us a way of escape. Young people, hear me. You're going to have opportunity to serve the Lord with all your heart. Or you're going to be able to serve yourself and the world with all your heart. It's a choice. And what happens when we find Him is that He will be found amongst us. You know, it's sad, really. We only use that scripture, you know, that the Lord is present when two or three are here. But there's a lot of people here, and He's here. And that's not just, you know, we use that when we've got a small crowd. But the reality is Jesus will be found amongst us if we are gathering as a people in His name. And when Jesus is elevated, people are going to be saved. When Jesus is elevated, bodies will be healed. Marriages will be restored. Children will be delivered. Amen. Parents will be delivered. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Filled with fire and power to witness. We will see God at work when Jesus is here. Amen. But you know, I would like to see Jesus at my house too. And I'd like to see Jesus at my work too. And I'd like to see Jesus at work in my car when I'm alone driving on the way to somewhere. I'd like to see Jesus at work in my children. I'd like to see Jesus at work in my life, not just here. And if that's all we're striving for, so that we can leave and say, man, that was a great service. Pastor didn't get to preach tonight. We've missed the whole point. Jesus really does want to move here. And Sister Rebecca, we really need Him to move here. Because there's so many other places that we can look to as an example of what happens when people stop being concerned with whether or not Jesus is moving anymore. I don't want that. I want Him in a fresh way. In a meaningful way. I want my children to know what it means to see the power of God at work on our adults and our elders. I remember as a child watching men and women in this church who I had the utmost confidence in their walk with the Lord, because that's all I knew, was that they loved God and I saw God at work in them. Oh, adults, we need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need signs and wonders to follow them that believe. We need to see souls saved again, not just for our experience, but for those that are coming behind us, that they will know not just a story, but an encounter with the living God. We'll find Him if we're searching for Him with all of our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you do a study of the context of this chapter, more than just the Lord speaking, the Israel nation was in bondage, captives. And yet the Lord said, I know right where you are. I'm going to gather you again. And there are times, church, that it can feel like even a generation is in such bondage that we're never going to get back to where God wants us. It can feel like that. It can seem like even a church has been in a battle for so long that we're never going to get back to the promised land. But can I tell you, just as the Lord had His eye and His hand upon the children of Israel, God has His eye and His hand upon Union Pentecostal Church. We have battled for so long that we need to be reminded He has a promised land for us. He's got revival for His people, a rest for those that are weary, strength for those that are tired, a healing for those that are hurting, and a miracle for those that need it. I'm telling you, we need revival, and God wants to do it for those that are hungry. Hallelujah. Oh, I need revival in my own heart. I need revival in my home. I want my children to see revival. We need it. Hallelujah. Are you going to find Him? Yes, you will. If you'll search with all your heart. Oh, I need revival. Hallelujah. Amen. More of His Spirit. Let me learn more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be. Oh, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been hearing that old song in my spirit for weeks. More about Jesus. Oh, we need more of Him tonight. Amen. Where's your heart at? Psalmist had it right. He prayed, Lord, search me and know me. Try my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. Then lead me to the way of everlasting. Amen. I want our music to come tonight and our church to stand, if you will. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, I want a fresh encounter with Jesus. Around these altars, amen, in the altar at home, I want a fresh encounter with Him. Amen. I want you to think right now, if you will, think back in your life. What is one of those momentous occasions you've had with the Lord? Maybe it was at Southern Ohio Youth Camp, or Sunset Hill, or Camp Dove. I mean, how many opportunities have we had at Camp Dove to see God move? Maybe it was here in this church, revival. It might have been 20, 30 years. Maybe it was last year, revival. We've had some that have even had great encounters with God on our Christmas getaways with the youth group, young people. Amen. Really does not matter where that moment was, but in your life, you know, it was a time that God pulled you up out of wherever you were and redirected your life. Sister Vell, Sister Dirth, I was thinking about a chapel service we had when I was so discouraged and I was struggling so bad. Brother Zane Estes was coming around then quite a lot. And he preached chapel. And Brother John, I knew God was speaking to my heart that day. In a chapel service. And it wasn't a whole week, but it was revival for my heart. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost in this house. It was revival for my heart. I remember our revival with Brother Lester that went on and on. And oh, it was things that I had heard our adults talking about, but it was revival for my heart. I mean, remember those moments on a Sunday night where when you walked in, it already felt like the match had been lit, Brother Hoffman. God was just waiting for us to get into the pew so He could just move. I mean, remember those moments. When people would drive by, the Holy Spirit would be drawing them in. Not even reaching out to them, but God pulling them in. That's revival. Remember those moments when God was stirring you in the middle of the preaching of the Word. Amen. Pastor be preaching and hit a verse or a point and all of a sudden it made sense to you. You knew God was real. You knew God was speaking to your life. You knew that in that moment, nobody could convince you of anything other than God was real. Jesus was coming soon, and you wanted to be ready. You remember those times. Has it been a while? Has it been too long? We'll find Him if we'll search for Him again. I promise you, He's not hiding. He hasn't went down the road. He's not just looking around at another location. He's here. Are you searching? Have things taken your attention away? Has temptation caused you to trip up? Has sin caused you to slip? Has your flesh been wearied and weakened? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we'll find Him. if we'll come to the altar. Amen. We'll find Him if we direct our hearts to Him. I promise you, you'll find Him if haply you reach out for Him. Why? Because the Bible says He is not far from any one of us. Where is your heart at tonight? Is it looking for Him? Oh, beloved, I want revival. Hallelujah. Amen. We're pursuing His presence. Would you come tonight? Find a place to pray and pursue His presence. He's here tonight, church. Young people, children, teens, He's here. Oh, don't just pray and get up and leave when your friend leaves. Pursue Jesus' presence. Go ahead, children. Go ahead, young ladies and young men. Pursue His presence. Jesus is listening to you tonight. He's waiting for you. Pursue His presence. Oh, adults, can we pursue a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Can we pursue a fresh baptism in His Spirit? Can we pursue a fresh burden in our calling? Can we pursue a fresh love for our brothers and sisters? Can we pursue, amen, revival in our church, revival in our home? Oh, Jesus wants to move tonight. I mean, where was it the last time you remember that touch of God in your life? Oh, we can experience it again. We can know Him again.